The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to the 4 o'clock hour on this 9/11. We should never forget what happened to America today. And that's why I'm encouraging you to call. Tell me about where you were, what you were doing, what were you feeling, what did you learn, what do you believe America should have learned? I want to make sure that the young people in our audience hear from adults who lived through it. A young person cannot possibly imagine what it was like for every single American to experience 9/11. So, we cannot forget, we will not forget, and I'm asking you to give us a call. Right now I have one phone line available, just one, and I hope you will grab it. 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Let's first go to the phones, and I've got Doug at Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri. Doug, welcome. You're on Bob Burney Live.
Hey, good afternoon. It's been 18 years since the Islam terrorists attacked those towers. I pray for the victims' families. I'm really grateful for the words that George Bush spoke that day, his words of sustenance: I shall not fail, falter, weaken, or tire. There's also a girl that appreciates those words. She is caught in a Sharia law. That situation is Danielle Sittel, S-I-T-T-E-L, on Google. She has a 1387 WordPress. Says, although we're all here together, there's very little chance we'll interact with each other in front of him. I'm being isolated in arranged marriage. They are hyper-aggressive gangsters. They dictate my look and what I'm to sing to you if you stop by. Pay attention to every word and the responses. The candy I was eating was toxic, needs protection.
That's fascinating stuff. But I'd like to hear from you personally. Where were you? What were you doing? What was the impact on you personally on 9/11?
I worked for a food service distributor. I was a salesperson. I was servicing Bill Peer at Windows in the World, and my driver had just got down and done. He threw the hand truck in the back of the straight job and left 10 minutes before it happened. In that Danielle site, in the Chicago backdrop, there's a judge says there's enough on the tapes I brought of him asking for $10,000. He's going to
whoa,
psych exam.
Doug, yes. I wanted to hear where you were, what you were doing. I appreciate the information you want to give us, but I want to keep this personal.
Sure.
Okay. I don't think he wants to. All right. Let's go to Jeff on the west side of Columbus. Jeff, you're on Bob Burney Live. Welcome and thank you for calling.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. I'll just get to it. 18 years ago, as I still do, hope to retire next year, I worked for UPS on the west side. I'm there now, getting ready to go in. Now I work nights. Started around 5 in the afternoon. So in the morning, I was asleep, and my wife called me about, 9:30, 10 a.m. and told me to turn the TV on. She was working at a church.
Yeah.
I get up, and the rest of the day, the afternoon before I go to work, I'm watching this. I'm getting angry. You know, it's very frustrating, thinking, you know, nothing we could do. At that time, there wasn't really, except come together and try and help the survivors.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that I do remember is when I did get to work, I worked by this open garage door, and I happened to see a supervisor and a package car driver outside looking up. So I walked out the door, see what you guys looking at. There were three planes. Again, it's like 5 in the afternoon or something. There were three planes way up in the sky heading east, and all the planes had been grounded. So that had to be President Bush and his two fighter mm-hmm. escorts heading back from Nebraska mm-hmm. back to D.C. And so I remember that very well. And the one other thing is the way people react, different reactions. When I was watching this coverage, I went out on the front porch, take a break, And there was one neighbor lady out front. And I said, that's terrible. What's going on? You believe it? She didn't know what was going on. She didn't know anything about it.
Wow.
And I started telling her. And she goes, are you kidding me? And then this other lady who was another neighbor I didn't know, and she pulled up and she goes, oh, you got to go get your kids out of school. And she started screaming. And I said, that's not what they said. They said, if you want, you could do that. But it was funny how, you know, this one lady, she was really panicking. And I can understand that. I mean,
sure.
We didn't know what was going on. But it was just interesting, the different reactions. And my reaction was anger and frustration. And, you know, I am glad President Bush was our president at that time, because I think, you know, at least for a period of time, he brought the country together. So
he did. He did. Yep. Didn't last long, but he did.
Okay.
He did.
Well, that's what I remembered, sir.
All right, Jeff. Thanks. Man, I appreciate so much you calling. Thank you so
Thank
much.
You. Uh-huh.
And those of you that remember, we didn't know what was next. We honestly, there was a very good possibility that we were under a full-blown attack by an enemy. We didn't know who the enemy was. There were people talking about a nuclear attack, that this was softening us up for a nuclear attack. There was speculation was running crazy for 2 or 3 days after 9/11. Many people thought skyscrapers in Chicago and in Los Angeles and in Dallas would probably be next, and maybe Miami and maybe Baltimore. And, you know, who knows what was going to be next? We had no way of knowing whether there were just 3 planes or there were 30 planes. At that point, we weren't certain. In the early hours, we weren't certain that these were planes that were hijacked. We just didn't know. By the way, telephone number 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. And with Jeff hanging up, I've got his phone line available. Folks, we cannot forget. That's why I want you to call. Share your stories. Tell us where you were, what you were doing, how you responded. I was very new here at WRFD. Joy and I had resigned the church in Westerville back at the end of December. January 1st, 2001 was my first day here. This was September, so I hadn't even been here a year. And Joy and I got up, and we had the Today Show on. Hardly ever watch morning TV. Hardly ever watch morning TV. But Joy had the TV on, and she yells, come, look! And they were reporting the first plane, and then we saw the second plane live. And we both knew that something horrific was happening. This was not an accident. Threw my clothes in, got to the radio station, and everything was chaotic. Salem Media is a very large company, but the general manager's meeting was in Chicago on that day. All of the general managers, the upper-level management for our entire company was in Chicago. And if you'll remember, no planes, no rental cars. They were gone. Telephone communication was almost non-existent for quite some time because the phone lines were just overwhelmed. And there were just a few of us here at the station that day trying to determine, what do we do? What do we do with programming? How often do we break in? How do we find out more details? And so forth. It was a harrowing day, and a day I will never, ever forget. All right. Let's go back to the phones, and we've got Harry in Galloway, Ohio. Harry, thank you so much for calling. Welcome.
Thank you, Bob. How are you doing?
I am well, thank you. Tell me about your 9/11.
Well, wake up in the morning and get ready to go to work at Schottenstein's at the time, two departments. But you couldn't be, you had to glue to the TV for any snippet of details. And I firmly believe, and people I've talked to in the business community, that Columbus could have been the target instead of Pennsylvania if the passengers wouldn't have taken over the plane. because of all the insurance people and money that Columbus represents.
Hmm.
People don't realize how much business is headquarters are in Columbus, downtown Columbus,
sure.
in or around Columbus.
Sure.
You know, people just don't realize how much insurance. And if your insurance gets knocked out, your money is spent. Mm. Where do you go for help? And like you said, we thought it was a nuclear attack or preparation for a nuclear attack. So,
well, we did not know. We had so little information, and there was an enormous amount of speculation as to what was going to happen next.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it was a frightening day, Harry, and I am grateful that you've called to share your story with us. Thank you.
And we live through it. Thank you, God. And
yeah, amen.
Thank you for taking care of us.
Amen. Amen to that, Harry. Thanks so much for calling. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
All right. I got to take a break. Telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE. Tell me about your experience. What did we learn? What should we have learned? How did you respond? What was happening with your family? Let's talk about it. 877-262-5483.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome back, and we will immediately go to the phone lines to hear your 9/11 remembrances. Next up is Jamie in Lynchburg. Jamie, welcome. Thank you for calling.
How you doing, Bob?
I am well, Jamie. Give us your story.
I'll never forget it. Me and a friend of mine went to the Lowe's in Wilmington, and we walked in Lowe's and started walking towards the back of the place, and we heard a radio just blaring and people just carrying on the radio and this and that, and we didn't know what in the world was going on. And we went back to where the radio was at, and the Lowe's employees was all around the radio listening and stuff, and we asked, we was like, what's going on? And they said the towers have just... the planes that just went into the towers and stuff, and we're like, what? And I mean, they was all glued around the radio, and we hurried up and got back home to Lynchburg and turned the TV on, and we sat there for the rest of the day and just watched the TV.
Well, I think that's what most Americans did. They just sat, watched, and listened, because we were so desperate for news, for information.
Well, you know, another thing I noticed right after that, the days to come, I went to Hillsboro one evening and stuff, and the town was almost dead.
Yeah.
I mean, because I think everybody was glued to the TVs at home because, like you said, you didn't know what was going to happen
true.
Or anything. So, I mean, the towns was even, like I said, dead.
Yeah. All right, Jamie, thanks. I appreciate so much. Hey, you as well. Thanks so much. And then Jana in Mount Vernon, Ohio. Jana, you're up next. Welcome.
Hi, Pastor Bob. I was living in East Tennessee at the time, and I worked at Carson Newman College, a Baptist college about 30 miles east of Knoxville.
Yeah.
I was the catering manager, and I, like you, had on the Today Show. So I learned all of the about the disaster from Katie Couric and Matt Lauer as I was getting ready for work. I went into work, and we had the Board of Trustees that day for multiple events. And the Board of Trustees were our most important clients out of everybody that we served from the cafeteria and the catering department. So I had to go to work, and it was just nonstop. Mm. My boss had a radio in his office. He did not have a TV. So as I would be moving around the building, I would hear the second building fell, the Pentagon's been hit, the plane went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And it was just very surreal to hear that, but yet I couldn't stop and devote myself to that. I had to keep working.
Sure.
And the college had a picnic planned. You know, it was at the beginning of the school year. They had a picnic planned for 2,500 that evening for the staff and the students. And the administration said this is not a day for celebrating. So they went, they canceled the picnic.
Yeah. Wow.
But I remember my sister, when I talked to her later, who was in near Delaware, said, how could you go to work? And I said, I had to. I didn't have a choice.
Yeah, of course.
But it was very strange to know that was going on, and yet I still had to function.
Well, bless your heart, Jana. Thank you so much for sharing your experience, and thank you for your faithfulness. God bless you.
Thank you.
And next up is Janet in Edison, Ohio. Janet, welcome. And I can't wait to hear your thoughts, your memories of 9/11.
Yes, well, I will never forget it. And thank you for taking my call. We have our youngest daughter lives in Virginia, just outside D.C.
Wow.
And I'm retired now, but at the time, I worked in a doctor's office. And I was on the phone with one of our patients, and she was trying to make an appointment for her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, a plane just hit one of the towers in New York. And I said, oh, my word, that's terrible. And so she went back to making an appointment for her husband. And then pretty soon she said, I've got to hang up. Another plane just hit another tower. And so she hung up. I didn't know what was going on because we had no radio or TV in the office. Well, me having a daughter living out there, I in D.C., I thought, uh-oh, what's going on?
Yeah.
And I hung up, and just then our doctor's wife called. The doctor hadn't come in yet, but his wife called and said, you need to go back and get a radio back in the office. Said they've got a plane that they think it's headed to D.C., but they're not sure. They haven't been able to find it. She said, go back and get a radio. And, of course, I'm a wreck by then, knowing it's headed to D.C., and I have a daughter out there.
Yeah.
And so we went back and got it out, and I wanted to just close the office, but we didn't, and all our patients kept coming in, keeping us posted. Well, I tried to call my daughter. I could not get her. She could not get me. Her husband was in England at the time.
Oh, my goodness. He couldn't get her.
And, I mean, we were just, I was panicky.
Sure.
I thought, okay, then we heard it hit the Pentagon, which isn't far from her. And she lives close to the Dulles Airport. And she said it was so eerie because, of course, they grounded all planes.
Sure.
And they're all the time hearing planes go over. And she said it was silent. She said it was just so eerie. It was silent there, no planes. And she said when we would hear a plane, we'd all go out and look up because we didn't know what was happening either.
And sadly, Janet, the computer is going to cut us both off. But
okay,
I am delighted that you called.
Where I was at.
Well, thank you so much. I'm honored that you called. Thank you. God bless you. We'll be back. I've got an interview after the break. Then we'll pick this up again.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.